It's Financial Freedom Friday, and on this episode of the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, we are going to learn how agents can reduce their tax burden.
Hey Mavericks, this is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, where we provide you with actionable steps for you to grow your passive income and become job optional. It's Financial Freedom Friday, and I'm here with Neil Timmons. During this episode, we are going to learn how agents can reduce their tax burden. For those of you who are new, I'm your host, Ava Baukamp, and I love to educate investors about passive income from real estate. Before I open up today's episode, I want to ask you for a small favor. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a thumbs up or subscribe to the show so that you never miss a valuable episode. And if you love what you're hearing, please give us a written review. Also, be sure to take a look at the description of the episode, as we have packed it with thousands of dollars in valuable content. All right, Neil, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. We've got a really exciting episode packed with some great data, statistics, and information for part of our Agent Optional Wealth Accelerator series. So I'm super excited for today's episode.
So am I. Nothing gets me more excited than not paying the federal government.
Yes, I can confirm that is correct. Neil loves this topic. So I wanted to kick it off with some statistics, some data on how much you pay in taxes every year. So if you're busy, just take a moment, pause, and soak in some of this data. So sources of revenue for the U.S. federal government in their financial year to date 2023. This is a breakdown, and it comes from the Treasury. What are the sources of revenue for the U.S. federal government? Individual income taxes make up $1.83 trillion, 49% of the federal government's total revenue. The next highest category is Social Security and Medicare taxes at $1.36 trillion, 37% of total revenue. But 49, almost 50% of the federal government's total revenue comes up just from individual income taxes in fiscal year. So I thought that was pretty crazy. Next up, from Yahoo Finance, reports that the average American will pay roughly, drum roll, 34.3% of their lifetime earning in taxes. This includes sales, property, car taxes, but two-thirds of that 34% is just taxes on earning. That's a huge percentage of your total earnings that you pay in a lifetime.
Going out the door.
Just on your income. Forbes did a breakdown. If you make an average of $100,000 a year for 40 years, your lifetime tax bill using 2010 numbers would be $763,920. Adjusted for inflation, your total lifetime tax bill for a 40-year career where you average $100,000 is $1.4 million in taxes. Over your whole career, that's what you pay in taxes to the federal government. That is pretty astonishing.
It will make you sick. That's why I love the subject. How do we not pay it?
Yes. So we wanted to kick off this episode with some hard data on how much you pay in taxes every year. Just as a reminder, this is part of our Agent Optional Wealth Accelerator series. Since Neil came from the world of being a residential real estate agent, turns out a lot of you, our lovely listeners, are residential real estate agents. And so we wanted to create this series to focus on you, help you with a very practical breakdown, a playbook of how you can invest in real estate so you can gain financial peace of mind, build your wealth through real estate. And even if you aren't an agent, this is going to be a super practical breakdown, and I'm sure you're going to find value in this series as well. So the topic of our episode today is obviously taxes, but this relates specifically to those real estate agents who can qualify as a real estate professional. This is a status defined by the IRS. You can check it out, U.S. Code Title 26, IRS Section 469. The Cornell Law School has the whole thing available online if you want to read through it. As a reminder, this is a high-level overview, so always consult your own CPA, attorney, or professional counsel. This is not tax advice, but we are giving you some great educational information today. So we're talking all about the IRS criteria for qualifying as a real estate professional. A real estate professional is someone who meets the following requirements as defined by the IRS. There are three main levers or three main buckets in qualifying under this real estate professional status. Number one is that more than 50% of your personal services, working hours during the tax year were performed in real property trades or business. Number two, you had to perform more than 750 hours of services during the year in the real property trade or business in which number three, you as an individual materially participated. You were doing the work. You weren't just invested in something and earned a passive return. You had to be going out and doing the work. And Neil, as you know, for high earning real estate agents, it's pretty easy to hit 750 hours during a year.
It's pretty easy to hit that like in a quarter. Yes, you're exactly right about that. And so the threshold from a high producing real estate agent in order to qualify is simple, very easy. And so they put all these rules in place because, well, for a multitude of reasons, because it's not just agents who can qualify. And there's a wide variety of ways in which one can qualify, not just being an agent. And so I think it'd be helpful for probably our non-agent listening audience here today to understand what those might be, because there's an outside chance that they may actually qualify.
Yep. So real estate professional status, like we just talked about, we have those three buckets. And the IRS defines anyone who can qualify under this bucket must perform real property trade or business. And here's, they have 10, 11 categories that fit under this real property trade or business. So these things in the eyes of the IRS are, you can be a real estate property, you mean real estate property development, redevelopment, construction, reconstruction, acquisition, conversion, rentals, operation, management, leasing, and then brokerage trade or business. So this is actually a pretty wide net. So like Neil said, not just real estate agents can qualify under this status, but the IRS defines this pretty much as anyone who, like they say, participates in real property trade or business. And it doesn't just have to be someone who owns rentals or they're a real estate agent. There's a wide net of things, but you just have to remember, check out that list that the IRS provides, see if you fit one of those categories. And then you also have to pass that three-lever test. 50% or more of your personal services during the year, 750 hours or more of service during the year, and a real property trade or business in which you materially participate. So that is the real estate professional status as defined by the IRS. So for our agents, Neil, let's break it down to what matters most. Why does this matter to real estate agents?
So we're talking about reducing taxes, and now this is silver bullet, if you will, the status. So we want to make sure we have our proper status. And the next is, how do we actually utilize that status to our tremendous benefit? And the biggest one is when it comes to passive income and passive losses. So when you're an investor, you invest in a syndication, some firm like ours, for example, you have passive income. It's just money coming to you. You're not out there swinging a hammer or doing things to the property yourself. You are truly a passive investor. Well, so in the eyes of the IRS, they would label that passive income. And if there's depreciation that comes back as a result of that, and there almost always is, and certainly if you're on the front end of the investment, meaning the first couple of years, there's tremendous tax deductions that come out from a passive loss standpoint. So the IRS says for the average person, people without this status, is that your losses, your depreciation, your passive losses, they must offset your passive income. And that's it. Okay. Where we get the benefit of the real estate professional status is that our passive losses can be deducted against any and all of our income. All right. So what does that really mean? It means this. In the very early years, typically in the first year of acquiring a property as a passive investor, if you were to passively invest with us, we go off in and we do what's called a cost segregation. We essentially, just in a nutshell, at a very high level, we front load the depreciation. So we want to take as much depreciation in the first year as conceivably possible so that we can deduct it against our income. We dramatically reduce our active income. And in that scenario, oftentimes we're able to, let's say one of us make a $100,000 investment. Oftentimes 20 to say 30% of that $100,000 investment is getting wiped out in depreciation in the first year. So oftentimes, I like to say the federal government becomes our partner in this. They want certain activities to take place in our economy. They've written the tax code that way, not to penalize people, but to reward people. And they want real estate investments to take place. And as a result, they dramatically reward people who place investments in real estate. And then they reward, on top of that, they reward people who actively materially participate in real estate, i.e. your real estate professional status. Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever-changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com.
Yep. I think that's a great point. This is something that is A, legal. Number one, it is illegal. And B, it is something that, like you said, the federal government incentivizes this kind of activity by the way that they've structured the tax code. So they want people to be investing in real estate because it's in their best interest to not have to figure out a place for you and me to live, a place for Joe down the street to operate his business out of. They've got enough things to worry about. They want to incentivize this kind of activity, and that's why they've structured the tax code this way. So I just want to summarize, as a high-earning real estate agent, you pay a lot in taxes. You know that very well. Mm-hmm. You get butchered in the taxes that you pay every single year. And just think about your tax bill from a year ago, 2 years ago. Think about that statistics that we talked about at the top of the episode, that the average American pays 33% of their total lifetime income just in taxes. You need a way to reduce that number because you know the government isn't going to magically start taking less in taxes from you. Actually, the Trump era tax reliefs that have been in place since 2017 are going to be going away in the next handful of years. 2025 is the last year. Your tax bill will for sure be going up in 2026. Hmm. That train only goes one direction. And as a high earning real estate agent, if you qualify under this real estate professional status, you have, like Neil said, a silver bullet, a great way that that status can protect you and enable you not only to make investments in real estate, but then also to leverage those investments in real estate to help you severely reduce your tax burden, help you keep more of your hard-earned income, and help you plan taxes with some strategy so that you don't end up paying 33% of your lifetime income in taxes to the federal government.
I like the way you summarized that. You hit it right on the head. And taxes are going up. They're going back to where they were in 2026. They're headed right back up. And based on the path the current federal government is headed down, the manner in which the federal government is spending, I would be shocked if they don't even go higher because we're at a path where we continue to dig a deeper and deeper and deeper hole each and every year in this country. The only way they get out of it is additional tax revenue. So it's about leveraging this and allowing the compounding effect, what Einstein called the eighth wonder of the world, compound interest, to take place with your money, right? By not paying taxes, by putting it to work in real estate and allow that compounding effect to take place over a period of time.
It's a great point. It's not just about paying less taxes. It's what can you do with those, with that money when you're able to direct it into investments that not only you've reduced your tax burden, but now you've got additional funds to go out and make you more passive income. And we like to say that this is the status that makes doctors jealous. They wish they were you because by and large, they're not going to be able to spend 750 hours of their year to earn this real estate professional status. And so they can't take those passive losses against all of their income. Mm-hmm. Only real estate professionals under the IRS code can do this. So it's a superpower that a lot of real estate agents don't necessarily take advantage of. So you might be wondering, okay, I'm a real estate agent. How do I qualify? It's not something that you could have just self-designate and say, hey, this is me, and they're not going to check into it. They will look into it. And so you need to create a strategy with your CPA or with your accountant. And what really matters here is documentation, a track record of the time that you've spent on real estate activities, where you were, what you were doing. This may mean taking log with appointments and a calendar, a narrative summary of what you were doing. And it's important to note that the log of these activities cannot be created retroactively. You must be able to document this on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, so that you're maintaining records and you can actually pass an audit in the event that that would happen. A ballpark estimate of I spent roughly 4 hours doing these things, it's not good enough. You have to be a little bit more detailed than that. So it's important that you maintain some accurate records here. Think of the W's: who, what, where, when, why, how. So create a strategy with your CPA or with your accountant to make sure that you properly document and you can qualify as a real estate professional.
I think when you're on the margins, you 100% should be doing this. If you're a busy full-time real estate agent, a broker, you're running a team, whatever it may be, you're working way, the average American works 2,000 hours. Odds have it, you're working way more than that. This is a breeze to pass. So it is simple. You know, one of the things I'll add to this is that you must qualify every year.
Yes.
Must qualify every year. So it's something to be mindful of. It's not a one-time, one-and-done thing. I mentioned that. So you're cognizant on an ongoing basis.
Yep, definitely. So I want to wrap up this episode with a few last thoughts here. So we aren't saying that all of your investments need to be in real estate, but you need to be thinking about that number. You don't want to be paying 33% of your lifetime earnings in income taxes and other taxes to the government. You need to find a way to reduce that number. And real estate, not only over the stock market, has benefits for you, especially as a real estate professional. The stock market gives you zero tax benefits. It gives you only tax pain. And you can plan to help reduce that 33% by investing in real estate. So here's your action plan for those of us who like to have a clear path forward. First off, figure out how much have you been paying in taxes. If you're like Neil, you probably know what that number is off the top of your head. Figure out how much you've been paying in taxes. Then you need to do a quick analysis based on those three tests, those three buckets. Do you qualify as a real estate professional? More than 50% of your services, 750 hours or more during the year in which you materially participated in that category of real property and business activities. Then you need to create a strategy with your CPA or accountant. Like Neil mentioned, if you're someone who's doing this full-time, it should be a breeze for you to create a strategy that works with your schedule so you can consistently qualify as a real estate professional year after year. And then pick a number. Create a target number or a percentage by which you want to reduce your taxes on an ongoing basis.
I think you put a plan in place there, and then it's as simple as executing. The way I kind of think about this, the real estate professional status, is almost like having an IRA. And here's what I mean by that. Plenty of people, probably several of you, you have a self-directed IRA or a solo 401k, that type of plan that you're putting money into so that you can reduce your taxable income. Well, we got to do the same thing here. By virtue of a real estate investment, a real estate professional status, when we make an investment in real estate, we get almost like an IRA benefit in the sense of we get to take advantage of the deductions that only we can by virtue of the status, and we get to reduce our taxable income. So I look at those as very similar, just a different methodology for one, for generally speaking, investing in the stock market historically, although not required. And then the other one, by virtue of the status, by investing in the real estate world, you get a tax benefit.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This is a great way to end our episode today, all about the real estate professional status.
To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice. Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.